Harper Avenue and Harper Audio present Secret Lives of Mothers and Daughters, a novel by Anita Kushwaha, performed by Deepthi Gupta. I can live alone if self-respect and circumstances require me so to do. I need not sell my soul to buy bliss. I have an inward treasure born with me, which can keep me alive if all extraneous delights should be withheld, or offered only at a price I cannot afford to give. Charlotte Bronte, Jane Eyre. Prologue. She checked her wristwatch again. "Stop," she ordered. The disobedient second hand continued to tick, chipping away at the time she needed to make things ready. Ideal. Why wasn't the second hand listening? Was it chipping faster? Seconds. Only seconds, and they would arrive. Nandini Shukla stood by the doorway, with her fists perched on her slender hips, and inspected the softly lit nursery with microscopic intensity. The walls were painted pale yellow, the color of butter, a shade she and her husband Prem had decided would work, whether the proverbial stork brought a girl or a boy. Adjacent to the door, to her left, against the wall, was the crib, made of sturdy oak and stained in a natural finish. Tucked in one corner and peering through the wooden bars was a caramel teddy bear, with eyes like black marbles, dressed in green overalls, a replica of the toy Nandini had snuggled with when she was little. The clerk at Toys R Us, who sold them the crib, had reassured them that it could be converted into a toddler bed in about 15 minutes, with nothing more than a screwdriver, a wrench, and a little effort. 20 minutes for those who were less handy, he said, giving Nandini a presumptive grin. Apparently, he went on, many new parents were opting for convertible cribs since they grew with the child, particularly during the early years when they sprouted like weeds. Although most parents tended to shop while the bun was still in the oven, so to speak, he added, glancing at her flat stomach. How old was their little one? 8 months, she had told him, crossing her arms over her midsection, to shield herself from the puzzlement she knew wasn't far off. Where had the little one been sleeping until now? He had asked with a chuckle. A drawer. She had forced a shy smile, felt her cheeks redden, and then asked what colors the crib came in other than white. Where had the baby been sleeping? Who could say? Maybe inside a drawer like the clerk had joked. Or on a dirty mattress tucked in the corner of an even dirtier room. Or nestled safely between its birth parents in bed while dipping into a lake of dreams. It bothered Nandini that she didn't know, in the same way it bothered her that the nursery remained unfinished. True, the room was far from orphanage austere. They had the essentials, crib, glider, changing table, even a tall walnut bookcase filled with toys and books they had been collecting for the past couple of years, since the adoption marathon first began. Prem's old Thomas the Train figurines, an illustrated Ramayana for children, her yellow-haired Cabbage Patch Kid. These heirlooms at least warmed the space with homey rays. Still, the naked nursery walls reminded her something was missing. They had made plans for an elephant mural overlooking the crib. Sky blue, with its trunk upturned. A good luck charm. Could its absence be what was niggling at her? Adoption limbo being what it was, Nandini had assumed they had enough time to get the mural painted. Over the past 2 years, it always seemed as though they had too much time, which was why she had spaced out their tasks, worried they might reach the end of their to-do list before the baby arrived, turning the nursery into a mausoleum of their unrealized dreams. Then 3 short days ago, life ceased being a waiting room. She got the call while she was at her desk composing yet another briefing note, an ordinary day. "Are you sitting down?" asked their caseworker Susan.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?